the moment somebody completes a survey is a moment of their least resistance to a new sales conversation, because people love to give feedback. So they're like, yeah, I'll tell you how good you were, and I'll tell you why I loved it, and I'll tell you how fabulous my results are based on the things you taught me. At that moment, they're really not expecting to be sold to. So they're not in the middle of a sales video where they're being told the 32 reasons they should buy your product. But so where their resistance to being sold to is really high, instead they're at this moment of engagement, and not passive engagement. They're genuinely fully engaged because they're giving you feedback. And that's a great time to give us some kind of sales message, whether that's on the thank you page straight after a survey or by pushing the data from that survey into your email marketing or CRM system or whatever you use to start a new sales conversation.
So you're a smart business committed to innovation, to service and to modern marketing. And you're asking, what's next? Wondering how you can become even more innovative. My name is Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and this is the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we share all kinds of tips, advice, and interview guests on all things innovation and leadership in modern marketing. Hi, innovators. It's great to be back with another episode. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. I trust you enjoyed our most recent interviews with Tom Vergas of Cultural Synergies and Jackie Lappin of Speakertunity. I'm really excited to have on the InnovaBuzz podcast as my guests today, Rob and Kennedy from Response Suite, which uses the intelligence of surveys to get more of your customers buying more of your products more often. I'm really lucky to have two guests for the price of one today, and as you'll hear, Rob and Kennedy are also quite the entertainers. Together, they founded and run Response Suite and also host the Three Marketers Walk Into a Podcast show. Today's episode is brought to you by the Transformational Marketing Hub, where you'll find a host of free and exceptionally useful information to help you transform your marketing. You can access the Transformational Marketing Hub by visiting innovabiz.co/VIP. Now, if you don't have an account yet, don't worry, just click the blue Take a Peek Inside button and check it out. As I said, it's free and exceptionally useful. In our discussion today, Rob and Kennedy talked to me about how to increase the response rate on surveys. We talked about using surveys as part of a high-ticket service application process. We talked about how to get greater attendance at webinars and events by using surveys. And Rob and Kennedy have generously offered a 14-day free trial of Response Suite with a bonus 4-part training course thrown in and an onboarding call personally with either Rob or Kennedy. So stay tuned to the link at the end of the episode for that incredibly generous offer. Without further ado then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Rob and Kennedy. Hi, I'm your host Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast today from the UK, and I didn't actually check where you're from, but we'll come to that in a moment, Rob and Kennedy from Response Suite, which is a survey app with built-in marketing features to help you get more of your customers buying more of your products more often. So I'm really lucky to have two guests for the price of one today, and as you'll hear, Rob and Kennedy are also quite the entertainers. So welcome to the podcast, gentlemen. It's a great privilege to have you as guests today.
Two for the price of one. Does that mean I'm not getting paid?
It does mean you're not paid, as usual. So I'm afraid you'll have to wear that shirt again.
Oh, no. Hello.
Yeah, as I said, you're both entertainers. And Rob, you've got a comedy show where you read people's minds using your skills in psychology, body language, and reading people. And Kennedy entertains with magic and hypnosis. So this could be a really interesting experience for me today. I'm going to have to stay on my toes and really watch myself.
Yeah, you're going to have to watch exactly what you're doing.
Yeah. All right. Now, together you founded and run Response Suite, and you also host the Three Marketers Walk Into a Podcast show. So I'm really looking forward to geeking out on all things marketing today. But before we start talking about marketing and surveys, give us a bit of a high-level snapshot of your background. How did you both get to where you are today, and what were some of the pivotal moments in that journey?
So, well, I think for both of us, we ended up basically as entrepreneurs by accident. I mean, I certainly didn't wake up one morning and think, I know what I'll do is I'll plow a load of money, all my savings, into a software app, mainly because I don't know anything about software. So what happened is Rob and I are both, as you say, from the entertainment industry, Rob being a hypnotist, me being a mind reader. And we spent a lot of time sitting in hotel rooms on either waiting to go to a gig, or we find a lot of time sort of sitting in departure lounges waiting to travel to gigs. So we ended up filling that time with other things. So rather than just sort of waiting around, we decided actually what we'll do is we'll start up businesses. And we ended up both creating online businesses, membership websites. Where, I mean, one of the things I did is created a membership program, which I actually still run today because I'm so passionate about it, where I help other entertainers to build their businesses and do better marketing. So, and Rob did similar things in the self-development niche and the internet marketing space, helping people turn their passions into courses and programs where they can make a passive income. And we ended up coming to both independently, came to a place where we needed a solution where we could actually use the feedback we were collecting from surveys. And we realized that the moment that somebody completes a survey is a moment of their least resistance to a new sales conversation, because people love to give feedback. So they're like, yeah, I'll tell you how good you were, and I'll tell you why I loved it, and I'll tell you how fabulous my results are based on the things you taught me. At that moment, they're really not expecting to be sold to. So they're not in the middle of a sales video where they're being told the 32 reasons they should buy your product. But so where their resistance to being sold to is really high, instead they're at this moment of engagement, and not passive engagement. They're genuinely fully engaged because they're giving you feedback. And that's a great time to give us some kind of sales message, whether that's on the thank you page straight after a survey or by pushing the data from that survey into your email marketing or CRM system or whatever you use to start a new sales conversation. We both knew that was really powerful, having our backgrounds using psychology and using the mind and understanding how people can be influenced. So, but the problem we had was there was no solution on the market that allowed us to do the things we wanted. That's namely take somebody to a different thank you page URL depending on the results, depending on what they said in their responses to a survey, so you can make a perfect offer to what they really need right now to help them out better and, of course, make some extra bonus sales, but also to push people into your email marketing system. There was no systems around at the time that allowed anybody to do that in a really slick way that was suitable for marketers. So we did what any two absolute lunatics would do, is we took our savings, decided not to invest in property and get ourselves on the property ladder and start a business.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a really fascinating journey. So you recognize then in starting those business that you wanted to go through this process of asking for feedback from your clients and then engaging with them, because like you say, once people provide that feedback, there's a level of engagement there. It's a personal interaction, and then deliver to them customized information by way of email or whatever, and do that all manually.
So initially not. It was absolutely an accident. So we both had these online businesses operating completely independently, as Kennedy just said. And we were, you know, we were friends. We've been friends for a long time. And we were always throwing ideas back and forth. And it actually came out of having I had a sort of a fairly big list in a really obscure niche. And I wanted to survey this list to find out what they wanted. That was really the only goal. Just run a survey just once to find out what they wanted. Because the truth is, I had loads of stuff I could create next, and I just didn't know what to create. So I ran a very simple survey. It asked like 3 or 4 questions, and that was really it. And on the next page, I thought, you know what? If people are going to take their time to click on a link, open my email, click on a link, and fill out this survey, I might as well make an offer of something. So I pulled up an old product from the shelves, and I said, okay, great. We're going to take this product. We're going to sell it on this thank you page, and we'll put a discount on or throw a bonus on that. I can't exactly remember what it was now. It was 7 or 8 years ago. So that's what I decided to do. So I recorded a really ghetto sales video, just me on my iPhone.
Were you actually in the ghetto?
I was actually in the ghetto, yeah. I was holding my iPhone and I basically was selling the fact that you get this product. And the sales video was so simple. It was like, hey, it's Rob. Thank you for taking that survey. Listen, the results you've just given me or the answers you've just given me are really going to help me to serve you better. Now, to say thank you for filling out that survey, I'd love to give you the chance to get this thing at a discount or with this additional bonus, a brief summary of what it was, pop that on the thank you page, and I was ready to go. So I sent out an email, sent them a link to the survey, and the sales on that offer were enormously high. And I realized that actually this does a couple of things. First of all, it has this lovely moment of being able to kind of sneak up the sale, I guess, because people aren't expecting it, like Kennedy just said. And that means the conversions on that are really, really high. Okay, you're not like gambling with it. You're just going to throw out an email to a survey. They're going to fill in the survey. You throw out this thing. And the great thing about that is anyone who doesn't fill out the survey, those people don't even know there was ever a pitch. Those people are happily continuing on.
It's a nice break from just hammering people over the head in your email with another pitch.
Yeah.
But of course, as happens with email, not everyone opened the email, not everyone clicked on the link, not everyone went ahead and filled out the survey. So I knew I had to send out the survey more than once. And now I hit a problem because I knew I couldn't email my list again with the link to that survey without emailing everyone who already filled it out, which was a good number. Okay. Not enough, but it was a good number. So I thought, oh, this is a real problem. So I went into my survey application I was using and I tried to find the bit where you can integrate it with AWeber I was using at the time, the email marketing system. And I just couldn't find it. So that's when I called Kennedy and said, have you come across this? He said, yeah, no, it doesn't exist. And I was like, no, it must exist. Like, this is a thing. So we looked around for ages. And that was kind of the birth of it. All I wanted to do was to be able to exclude the people that I was sending the email to. Because we all know if you're sending out an email or doing a promotion and somebody buys a product, you wouldn't then promote that product to that person again. It stands to reason. So we should all be avoiding from promoting a survey to somebody once they've already filled it out. So I had to find a way to do it. We couldn't find it. We looked high in those, Kennedy said. But it all stemmed from this just desire to do a really simple thing. Send out a survey, send it out more than once, and be able to not include the people who'd already filled it out. But along that way, we discovered that actually you pop an offer after a survey, it sells really well. And that was really the birth of this thought process that spiraled off into, hang on a minute, that means you could send people to different things based on what they said. That means you could put them on different lists based on what they said. Because obviously marketers and business owners have been doing surveys for years. But the way it typically works is like this. You send out a survey, you send it out to everyone, regardless of whether they've taken it or not. You get the results back. And then when you look at those results, let's imagine you said, which of the following three business things do you need help with? Do you need help with cash flow and finances? Do you need help with getting traffic to your website? Or do you need help with getting conversions? Let's imagine those were your three courses or your three ideas. You send out the email, you get some people taking the survey. And now when you look at the results, let's imagine 40% of people said they want help with conversion strategies, 30% of people said they want help with finances and cash flow, and 30% of people said they want help with getting traffic to their website. So if you can picture that on a pie chart, 40% say one thing, 30% say another, and 30% say another thing. Now, of course, I'm rounding the numbers here just to make it easy to explain on an audio podcast, but I'm sure you can picture that in your mind. Now, here's the problem. What most marketers would do at that point, what most business owners would do is say, okay, great. Well, 40%, most people, they want help with that first one. They want help with conversion strategies. And actually, and that makes sense. So I'll create that and I'll send it to my entire list. But what actually happens at that point is you're actually just taking the largest individual segment. It's not the majority of your list. The majority of your list are the 60% or whatever of people who said the other thing, the other thing.
That's right. Yeah. And the thing about that is you risk alienating those 60% if you then bombard everyone with the cash flow. Was it the cash flow one, 40%?
And the other problem with that is it's almost in an insulting way. You basically have just asked somebody what they want and then given
something else.
What kind of dinner do you want to go out for tonight? And she says, oh, Italian. You say, good news, we're going for a curry.
I might try that.
Yeah. Well, what I really like about the whole process, because the first step of the survey is actually an engagement step, and those people have more or less qualified themselves that, hey, we're interested in what you've got to say for a start. And as you said, that at that point, you know, they're open to looking at whatever you might have to offer. So that's really good. So in a nutshell then, what is Response Suite and how is it different to other survey apps?
So the challenge we had was that there was not already an existing system, which was a survey application built specifically for marketers, for the things that marketers and salespeople and entrepreneurs want to be able to do. So we built a system specifically to turn feedback into more sales. That's what it is. Where a lot of people see a survey as the end of a sales process. You see that as the thing you do after you've done your marketing, your sales, and you've fulfilled, and maybe force people to consume the content of your product itself. You'll then send out sometimes, and we know we should all be doing it really in the real world. We should really be sending out a survey at that point to find out, at least to collect testimonials at that point that we can use on our products, whether we're online business or offline businesses, because we help both. But what we decided is, and what we realized is that that survey, where it's usually the cul-de-sac, is usually the end of that whole marketing and sales process. It doesn't need to be. That can actually be the pivot point. That can be the moment that you can take advantage of to open up a new sales conversation. Because as part of that survey, you can say, what did you think of the product you just bought? What did you think of the way it was delivered? And you can ask a question in there, which is, what do you need help with now? What's the thing that you really could do with help with? Or what is your biggest barrier to achieving the thing that you want to achieve? However you want to word that. And give them a bunch of options. Now, giving them these options does two really incredible things. The first thing it does is it allows you to plant the seed of a list of things that you do. So all you're going to list in that list of what you need help with next are things that you can help them out with, whether they be your own offers or they could be affiliate offers or offers of a friend or an associated partner or just somebody you know that you can pass the work on to. So all you're going to do is list a bunch of things, but that allows you to seed the ideas of things that they didn't even realize they had a problem with. So they might not even realize that, actually, oh yeah, there's Google Ads. I forgot about that because I've been so embroiled and so obsessed with doing Facebook ads, I forgot my Google ads is a thing. Yeah, I could probably do help with that. And they wouldn't have even thought about it. Or, I don't know, influencer marketing. Oh, yeah, we're not doing any of that. Whatever. And so they can check the ones they want to do. So one is you get to sort of load their mind with some opportunities for sales for yourself. And then the next piece of that is that information gets pushed into your email marketing or your marketing CRM software. What that means is now you can follow up with messages which are exactly helpful, specifically helpful for that person. So, for example, if they've just said, I really want help with Google Ads, you can now follow up with a campaign which says, hey, we've got a really good offer on this Google Ads program. Or you can take them straight to a thank you page because they've selected one help, well, they want help with Google Ads, which says, hey, we've got this solution, which is a Google Ads platform, a Google Ads product. We're going to give you a discount on it. So we, with Response Suite, you can take people to a different thank you page or show them different messages, or heck, you can build a thank you page right inside Response Suite and take them to different thank you pages you build yourself if you want, depending on the answer to people's surveys. And you can do that also based on people's score as well. Like if you do like one of those lead generation quizzes, you could build that inside Response Suite. And depending on how they score, you might say, actually, this person needs a lot of help because they're miles away from where they want to be. So I'm going to give them this super bumper package of all the help in the world versus actually this person just needs a little bit of help because they scored quite well, and you can offer them different things. The whole idea, it's a bit like, you know, do you remember those choose your own adventure stories?
It's
a bit like that. It's like rather than thinking of it as sort of blanket marketing and like beating everybody over the head with the same message, it's saying, look, what do you need help with? Great. Well, the solution that's going to help you get there the fastest, which is what people want these days. They want the fastest solution to their problem. They don't want to just buy whatever the heck you're showing to them at the time. So they want the fastest solution to their problem. So if you just say, hey, what's your problem? And if you've got a solution that helps them out, then you can show it to them either by email or you can follow up with them by phone. You can put them on different lists in your email system. You can push every single response into your marketing system. Or indeed, show them that exact thank you page, which is going to help them out the most.
Mm. Yeah, what I really like about that is, I mean, it takes the automation, the marketing automation, it kind of takes it up a level, but at the same time, it brings it back to something that's more human. So like you say, the you know, the depending on the response people give, you then say, okay, well, you said you wanted help with this, so we'll help you with that and we'll give you some information to that. So you kind of treat it as a conversation as you would have in real life, because if we're having this conversation now, I ask you a question, you give me an answer, and my next response is going to be based on what you've answered rather than just a kind of a blanket response that I'd prepared for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's just say, for example, you teach a certain thing, but you bring people in at all levels. We have a lot of clients who are social media sort of gurus, and they're sort of social media managers. But when somebody comes into their business, they don't know immediately whether that person really wants some consultation on their strategy for their social media and is happy to therefore go ahead and do all the work themselves and all the posting and stuff themselves, or do they want somebody to do a fully managed thing? So depending on what the person says in their survey, in this case, it's being used as an application form, you can either book them in for a one-to-one consultation on the phone if they're qualified for that, or if it's more likely actually they're going to get a lot more value out of my online course or a little video I've made about something, then you can show them that. So it's about helping them, but also alleviating the stress of you perhaps jumping on a call with every Tom, Dick, and Harry who decides they want to chat to a friend for 20 minutes.
Yeah. Like the pick your brain stuff. I think the beauty of using a survey in this way is that there is that qualification step, isn't there?
Exactly.
So first of all, if somebody's going to invest the time to take your survey, that's already, they've already qualified themselves as interested, at least in you in a general sense. You know, there's something about you that they're interested in.
Yeah.
And then the next step is then if they answer certain questions in the affirmative, then that's where they're headed.
Yeah, and it doesn't even need to be sales. I mean, if you run webinars, I mean, Rob, you've got a really good campaign. You've been running on webinars.
Yeah, so one of the big problems that people face with running live webinars and even in-person seminars where it's, you know, like a free seminar, people run into the issue of getting attendance. So especially when you do your first one, you get really excited because loads of people register and then not that many people show up, and then suddenly you realize, So we don't like to accept the norm. We like to try and break the rules a little bit. So we just realized, actually, when somebody fills out your registration form to get on a webinar, immediately afterwards, you should ask them the chance to take a survey. Now, we've seen other marketers doing this, using survey platforms that either don't go anywhere, in other words, the data doesn't get stored anywhere at all. It's really just there for sort of face value, if you like. The data literally doesn't go anywhere. Or if they do get any data, they just sort of look at it every now and then and sort of make sure it's on point. They certainly don't change anything. So what we realized is actually, with ResponseSuite, when somebody fills out that survey, you can put them into a different attendance sheet sequence or show-up sequence, depending on what they said. So on your webinar, you might be teaching, you know, three big secrets that are going to cover 5, 6, 7, maybe 10 things. So in your survey, you can say, which of these things are you most interested in, and list those 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 things. And then when people choose that one, you put them through a show-up sequence that really focuses on the fact that on the webinar, I'm going to help you with this, I'm going to help you with this. Don't particularly change the content. I'm sure everyone's already got a webinar they're happy with and it converts and they're going to keep using it. It's not about changing the content. It's about showing people that the content on the webinar is more likely to be for them. And therefore, we have almost doubled our attendance rate on webinars by doing it that way.
That's a really interesting approach. I guess if you're doing automated webinars, you might, if you're clever about it, you might structure them in a way that there's a group of topics that make sense to keep together, and you have three or four different automated webinars, and instead of taking them to a landing page, you take them to the different webinars.
You could absolutely do that. I haven't thought of that. That's a smashing idea.
All right. Now, with ResponseSuite, I noticed you've got a template service there. So are there a lot of templates there that give people an idea of what they could do with that? Because there's lots of applications that I
It's one of the things that people talk to us about is when we're speaking at events, we often will send a survey out ahead of time because we like to practice what we preach, but also we know it helps with attendance at these things. So if we're running a seminar, one of these business shows, there's lots of different things going on, we send a survey ahead of time. And recently Rob was doing one and he said, you know, anybody got any questions about this? And this lady shot her hand straight up in the air, really eager, and said, yeah, but does anybody fill out surveys anymore? And Rob said, well, I sent you all the survey before this. Can you put Adam in the air if you took the survey? I think exactly 100% of the people in the room put their hand up in the air, including the woman who asked the question. And the truth is, 100% of engaged people do complete surveys.
So what we needed to do was to make sure that surveys were easy to complete. So we put a lot of time and quote-unquote science into working out what makes people complete surveys, what actually chances of...
Why don't we give them that? Why don't we give them our template away?
That's a good idea.
So what we... Do you want to talk about
that? Yeah, so one of the things that we know that lots of people use Response Week for is a high-ticket coaching application forms. So if you've got a coaching program of some description, obviously most people are going to have an application process for that so that you can weed out the people who are qualified versus the people who aren't qualified, so that you only speak to the people who you actually have a chance of helping and who can afford the program and who are qualified to buy it. And you don't waste the time of the people who can't afford it or aren't going to be a good fit for it, or they're too advanced for it, or too, you know, far back in their journey for it. So we have over the past, I don't know, we keep saying 10 years, but it's got to be more than that, worked with a lot of high-ticket coaching programs, both our own and other people's, and we all did them through this high-ticket application process. So along the way, we've noticed a lot of things that will help people get higher completion rates from the right kind of people, like the questions to ask, the order to ask them in, the colours on the page, like really, really tiny little details that all make a difference.
They all basically pile up to increase the number of people who complete your surveys.
So we put it together into a sort of a PDF document that sort of details everything. It's actually up online at perfectapplicationform.com.
If you find that useful, you're welcome to go download it. But actually, inside a Response Suite itself, yeah, we decided that to help people out with this, there are already lots of templates inside there that you can literally just click and they'll upload and you can just adjust the questions. And they're on different niches. They're also with different applications. There's some application forms in there. There's customer feedback things. There's lots of different ways to get you started rather than staring at that blank canvas. And of course, you can add in your own logos and stuff like that too.
And if you cast your eyes across them, even the ones that are, because some of them are quite niche specific, some of them are not so niche specific. And I think if you kind of cast your eyes across them, you'll start to see the sort of structure for surveys that work in terms of the number of questions to ask, the order to put them in, that kind of thing. You'll start to understand why we ask the way we do. And so that's useful for that as well.
Hmm. Yeah, well, I know you've, in another podcast that I heard both of you on, you talked a bit about modeling. And one of the things I'm curious about is, did you model this off somebody else, or how did you use your background from, you know, entertainment to kind of come up with this idea? Obviously, there's a fair bit of psychology involved here in terms of getting the engagement and getting people responding and how to ask the right questions.
Yeah, I mean, I've been asked to do modeling before, and that's not true.
Bikini modeling.
So, I mean, obviously, our background in psychology and understanding people and the human behavior stuff allows us to really look at how do we drive people forward? What are the motivators that we can tap into? And one of the really good things is to allow people to see how long this survey is. If you're certain, one of the things people get freaked out by is, but the surveys are so long, why would anybody complete them? Or people say to us, I've tried surveys before and our completion rate was low. It's usually not because of anything to do with surveys as a concept, but usually people do ask too many questions. A really good survey should be 3, 4, or at tops 5 questions long, and as much as possible, only be multiple choice and not ask for long, insightful, deep question answers. And the reason for that is people haven't got time. People are honestly not that interested in you and helping you out. They're interested, if they're going to help you out, you want to make it as quick as possible. And that is click some buttons, use radio buttons, or use little check boxes, or those big images where you say, you know, which one of these is a bit like how you felt. There's some pictures of people feeling different things and they click the right image. Make it really fast and really simple to actually do and to actually consume.
And in building the application, you know, one of the things we try to avoid doing is looking at other things. So we wanted to be the survey application for a package for marketing because there just wasn't one available. So what we've tried to do as much as possible. So I remember about, I don't know, 10 years ago, Kennedy switched from PC to Mac, right? And I'd heard of Macs. I knew what they were. I'd seen them in the shops, but I never
contacted them. My computers here, yeah?
Yeah, computers.
Yeah. I'd seen not so long many Macs.
No. Okay. I'd seen other people with them, and they just looked complicated, and the keyboard was different, and they didn't have, you know, they've got this command button, and I was like, I don't know what any of this stuff is. So again, this is like 10 years ago. So I went around to his house, and he showed me this Mac, and I was like, no, it's not for me at all. And he said, I said, why do you like Mac? And he said, well, and this is a controversial thing to say, but he said, it's like a PC, but everything's where it's supposed to be. So we build And eventually I converted, and now I'm a converted Mac user. But we decided to build Response Suite to be the survey application where everything's where it's supposed to be, which meant, to a certain extent, putting blinkers on, closing our eyes, starting with a blank canvas and saying, right, we know that people have to be able to drag stuff from somewhere into a canvas and create their survey. We know that people have to be able to hook up the questions with their email marketing system and make stuff happen. We know that people have to be able to tag people. We know people have to be able to hook up their Dropbox account and upload files. Where should any of that be? Well, we're not going to try and pull inspiration from other places because most of the packages can't do most of the stuff that we're trying to do. So we kind of had to just sit back and say, okay, great. If we had just an empty thing on the screen, where's everything supposed to be? And I guess that's where it came from. Where would we want to click to find that thing?
And this led to lots of heated debates and lots of scribbling on dry erase boards and wiping stuff off. And I mean, it got pretty excitable, didn't it?
It did.
Like, it was like, that's a stupid idea. We said a lot.
Yes, all good feedback, right?
Well,
one of the things I find really annoying with surveys is the long survey that just keeps going and going, and all you get is a next button. You've got no idea how long this is going to go for. And then they start asking kind of more open-ended questions and expecting you to actually think and put something sensible in writing.
Yeah, it's true.
And
it's like everything. You know, like people say, how long should my sales page be? Well, it should be as long as it needs to be to make the sale. The survey needs to be as long as it needs to get what you need. And usually you really only need one or two pieces of core information to do the next thing. Mm. What do you want help with next? And then the rest of it is sort of just like getting feedback. What do you think of this out of 10? So it's very simple questions.
I mean, only ask the questions you're actually going to do something with. Like, if you don't plan on changing from being a video course to being anything else, if it's always going to be a video course, then why are so many people asking, do you prefer to learn in video format? Or why are you asking that question?
That thing that you said before, earlier on, about the fact that you can plant ideas in your customers' minds, a lot of businesses that we see use surveys to plant negative thoughts in their customers' mind that weren't there before. That says, did you like this by video, or do you prefer to learn my audio webinar.
Oh, well, I hadn't thought about that, but now I think about it, that video was bloody horrible.
And so he said, well, that was $197 for that video course, but I could have had one-on-one coaching for the next 3 years for that $197. I'd have chosen that. I'll take that one. So you're kind of warping your feedback, and it doesn't make sense. So you have to ask for feedback in the right way. Now, the other thing that we kind of wanted to point out here is that you can use what we call conditional logic. I think that's the sort of standard name for it in the
skip
survey,
logic sometimes.
Skip logic sometimes. To hide and show questions, pages, or sections based on what you said. So if you said, do you have a dog or a cat? And somebody chooses dog, the next question shouldn't be, okay, great, what's your cat's name? So
it's
an obvious example, but just make sure that you only display the questions that are useful. Now, that means you can have a longer survey as long as questions appear and disappear based on what they're saying, as long as you're taking people down a path that is logical and makes sense.
A really easy way to do that is if somebody says that I thought your service or your product was like 5 stars or 8 or 9 or 10 out of 10, then you could make a little question appear which says, would you mind giving us a testimonial? It's a really simple way of doing it. But obviously, if somebody says that I thought it was rubbish and it was one, which I'm sure rarely happens, but we all have sort of grumpy customers sometimes who have a bad experience, and that's the way of the world. But if they said one, don't be like, please give us a testimonial. You probably want to then follow up with them in a different way, which allows you to do some kind of customer service.
Now, of course, there's a bit of a caveat to this, which is don't take it too far and have a million questions. But the old rule of commitment and consistency applies here as well. If you have a survey that appears to only have 3 questions on it and people start to fill that out, once they get past the second question, you might have another one appears that is not there to catch them out, but it's a relevant kind of asking for more information based on what they've just said. They're kind of in the flow of it now. And as long as you can push that too far, they will continue to fill that out. And you might find that gets you better results than just having 10 questions on the survey page when they get there. Of course, what we do recommend doing is having a progress bar. If you're going to break it down over multiple pages, have a progress bar that visibly displays how far through the process they are.
Yeah.
They can say, actually, the end is in sight. I'm 70% of the way there now. I've only filled out 4 questions. I'm going to be done in a minute.
Yeah, I don't understand why people don't use progress bars on all the surveys, because to me, that is so obvious. I know my own behavior when I fill out a survey. If I see a progress bar there, I'm quite relaxed about going 10 pages. But if I don't see the project bar by about page 3, I'm starting to get frustrated.
Because it's just like, how deep is that hole I'm going into now?
It's why we...
That's right, yeah.
At the motorway, you like to see a sign that says you're 90 miles away, 70 miles away, 50 miles away. It's a nice thing.
Mm.
And sometimes you'll say, well, I'm not going to stop and grab a coffee. I'm just going to keep going because the end is in sight.
Yeah, knowing where you're at.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is fascinating. I could go on for ages on surveys and all kinds of things, marketing. I mean, there's so many applications that you could use this for, and you just alluded to one that I find really fascinating too. And that's, when you ask for testimonials, actually put a survey on the front end of that, and then you can send it out more broadly. You don't have to worry too much about people maybe leaving you a negative testimonial because they're annoyed with you and you didn't realize it, because they can tell you that in the survey, and you can use the survey with your system then to actually deliver something to them that might make them feel better and might compensate them for whatever bad experience they've had.
Yeah. I mean, imagine, like, because of the smart redirect technology that we built into Response Suite, if they review you poorly and they say, I didn't really enjoy it, rather than a testimonial box, you don't show any extra questions, but on the thank you page, you send them to a page that you've built which says, I'm really sorry that you didn't enjoy it. If you are willing to give us a second chance, here's a gift card, here's a voucher, here's a discount
code. Or whatever your customer service is.
Yeah, so you could
do. Yeah, exactly. Which to me is a really good way of handling those situations, because it demonstrates, I mean, we're all human, we all make mistakes. So it demonstrates that you actually care about people and you care about your customers, and, you actually want to keep those relationships intact.
Absolutely. And the thing is, as well, you're doing it automatically. So you're not having to deal with these one by one. And the negative of dealing with these things individually and manually is people slip through the cracks quite easily. And you don't want somebody who's celebrating about you slipping through the cracks, just as much as you don't want somebody who's had a problem and is feeling a bit bad about you. So it allows you to do this on a consistent basis by automating it, rather than allowing people to slip through the cracks if you're going to do it manually. And we think that's really important.
So this is really more than a survey.
Oh yeah,
app. But you could use it for, customer relationships, and obviously in marketing. It really applies across the board of a business, I think.
For sure.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right. Now, I think it's time we moved on to our innovation round, the buzz, which is a series of questions that are primarily designed to help our audience, who are innovators and leaders in their field, with some tips from your experience. So I've got 5 questions. Hopefully you'll give us some really insightful answers that will inspire people to go and do something awesome today.
Hopefully.
You ready?
We're gonna try, no pressure.
Yeah. All right, number one. What's the number one thing anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
For me, personally, it's about really being completely intolerant to average. I don't care what the average CTR is. I don't care what the average open rate is, or the completion rate of a survey, or the average whatever that is, the industry average that you can find as a statistic on the internet. That literally means nothing whatsoever. It should mean nothing, because what you're doing is new. What you're doing should be innovative. What you are doing, you can build deeper and better relationships than anybody else if you just put more effort in. And those averages don't mean anything whatsoever.
That's great. I like that. I think somebody once said to me, benchmarks, do away with benchmarks, just be exceptional. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty well the same message. All right, what's the best thing you guys have done to develop new ideas?
I think one of the things that's interesting is, I mean, bearing in mind, we're a company who specializes in surveying your customers to find out what they want.
Yeah.
You have to just realize that most customers actually don't know what they want, or at least what they want isn't necessarily the same thing as what they need. So actually listening to your customers' demands in terms of what they think they want will actually help them as much as you probably think it will. So what you need to do is you need to take all the feedback that you get from your customers, everything that you think that you kind of should pay attention to, and you need to wrap that up. You need to put that together to deliver what they need in a wrapping that says it is what they want. So if you think about somebody who wants to start a home business or something, all they actually, for the most part, care about is the paycheck they're going to get at the end of the month. They don't actually care about all the nitty-gritty, the nuts and the bolts. They don't care about creating products. They don't care about driving traffic. They don't care about any of the stuff they have to do. But actually, all the stuff that you need them to do, all the stuff you need to sell them in order to get them an end result, and we all have results-based businesses. If people didn't use Response Suite and get results, we wouldn't be able to stay up and keep the lights on and keep selling it. So we all have results-based businesses, no matter what you do. And so, especially in this modern world. So what that means is you have to be able to take everything that the customer needs to be able to do and wrap it up in the thing that they want. So most online businesses know that they need to get higher open rates. They know they need to get higher click-through rates. They know that they need to increase the number of customers who buy more stuff. What we've been able to do is to say, okay, great, there's a great way of doing that. It's with surveys, and we are selling that. Selling surveys is the solution to that problem. So I think that's the big key thing, is to look at what people are trying to achieve, not what they think they want. Look at what they're trying to achieve and then find a way that delivers that.
Hmm. Yeah, that's great advice. And matching the solution to the problem often is something that marketers or businesses tend to overlook. They kind of try to force fit something. And it's like the classic story. I think Seth Godin in his book, This Is Marketing, talks about the drill and the hole conundrum. So, you know, people don't want a drill. They want the hole that the drill makes, but they don't actually want the hole either, because the hole fulfills some sort of purpose, whether it's to hang up a picture or a bookshelf or whatever that is. So that's really what they want. And then, you know, you can dig down into the levels of what it is they really want, and then ask yourself, well, what are you providing?
Right.
Hmm. All right. Well, what's one of the resources you use most often?
We really live and die by Asana. I'm sort of between two, but I'm going to go with Asana. We use Calendly a lot as well, because we do a lot of meetings. We do a lot of podcasts. We interview people for our podcast, Three Marketers Walk with the Podcast, obviously on August and other people's podcasts like this one. So Calendly is huge for us. But Asana, if it's not in Asana, it doesn't happen. And especially in Asana, we use the, I think they're called related or dependent tasks, where you can basically say, my task doesn't become due until Rob's finished doing what the heck he's supposed to have done. So that's a really, really great tool. So we use Asana for everything from reporting any issues we discover with our software, through to planning the project stages, through to marketing planning. So everything goes into Asana.
Hmm. Yeah. It's a great tool. We use Asana too, and basically everything lives in there.
So if it's not in there, it's not happening. It's not real.
Yeah, that's right. All right. What's the best way to keep a project on track then?
So again, using Asana and working through the sort of milestones of the stages of the journey. But I guess it's for us, it's about two things. Having a sort of broader view as to where the project needs to go and what the steps are to get there. We're very bite-sized people, so it's good to like have a view of where you're headed, but also look at the bite-sized individual tasks. But also being prepared to be sort of agile with that and know that things are going to change as you go. And I think by having that sort of milestone type approach to it, where you have little stepping stones that get you to your next big milestone, but being able to say, actually, do you know what? If that's a bit treacherous or a bit difficult up there, we might have to slightly dodge around it, then that's useful. So it's about having the end in sight, breaking it down into milestones and tiny stepping stones, but also knowing that you have to be agile and sometimes jump around things in order to get to where you want to be.
Mm, yeah, great advice. I like the keeping the end in sight, because often you break down a complex project and you buried in the detail, it's kind of like, you know, losing sight of the forest for the trees.
For sure.
Hmm. All right. What's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
I think one of the things you all have to remember is that our story, your story, is so different and made up of so many different elements which are unique when they're compounded together, that we should never hide our story. For the longest time, Rob and I did not talk about our background in the entertainment industry as part of Response Week. We're like, this is very separate. But the truth is, our reasons for doing this, our why, if you want to put it that way, our drivers, our motivators, are all driven from the fact that we are about connecting with people. We're about understanding people and their behaviors. And that comes from a very strong grounding in the type of entertainment that we do. So I think the way to differentiate yourself is to really embrace your story, whatever that might be. There are people who talk about their stories who've had really difficult backgrounds, who've had really privileged backgrounds, who've had what might feel like to you as a sort of boring non-event of a background. There are things within that which have led you to where you are now. And by driving everything you do in your business, driving the messaging of your marketing, driving your personal brand through it, that allows you to stand out. And that's the thing that allows you to differentiate.
Mm. Yeah, that's great. I like that. Embrace your story. And as you say, some people, and I've been guilty of this from time to time myself, feel that nothing that interesting happens to me. Why would people be interested in that? Yeah. And yet, you know, there are often some mundane things when you start talking about them to other people. They say, oh, that's awesome. And, you know, the lesson in that or the metaphor that they see within that little story suddenly lights them up. And, yeah, so embracing your story. And also, you mentioned that, you know, you didn't talk about your entertainment background for quite some time. Now, in your Three Marketers Walk Into a Podcast, you definitely embrace that whole entertainment background. And I love the way you have the caricatures of all your guests as well as yourselves on the images for the podcast. So,
I mean,
is one of you a sketch artist or something?
Definitely not. You should see when we draw a spec out for our developer here in the office, and we decide what it's going to, what we think.
It looks like a child's done it with a broken hand.
It is.
Okay.
It's like Kennedy said, we tried to not hide, but we just didn't talk about the entertainment thing for a while because we didn't want to sort of confuse people, and it all seemed a little unusual. Why have these two entertainers started a software business and all of that? But actually, along the way, when we decided, actually, let's just talk about this, one of the things that happens is you realize, actually, I've got skills and knowledge and stuff that I can pull from my previous life, from a previous thing, that actually will help to leverage what I'm doing now. So, for example, we get to speak on stage at events and we get to be on podcasts and stuff, and people are much more receptive to the idea of having these two weird entertainer guys on a podcast than maybe somebody who hasn't got much personality. And, you know, like they instantly know, well, they must have something because they've got successful backgrounds in entertainment. So I think everyone in their story, just to pull out of that, has skills and things you can pluck out that actually you can leverage those skills, and you can leverage your past experiences and your past successes in whatever it is that you're doing going forward. And that's one of the other cool things about it.
Hmm. All right. Well, thanks for that. Thanks for getting us through the buzz, the innovation round. Now, where can people find out more about Response Suite and perhaps reach out to you and learn more about what you do and even say thank you?
Well, what we did for Fran, for the friends of Jürgen, is we decided to put together a really special deal.
Mm. So basically, right now, you can grab a 14-day free trial of Response Suite. So there's 2 full weeks to try it out, get it involved in your business, see the results, start
getting
more money from it, get it working, get it integrated into your business. But we wanted to go one step further than that. So if you grab it through the link I'm going to give you in a second, don't go to responsesuite.com. I'm going to give you a link in a second. We are also going to give you a 4-part training course that we put together called the Survey Marketing Masterclass, where we reveal sort of 8 campaigns. And we've talked about some of them actually in this episode, but we're going to delve into a load more detail. It's about 4 hours long. It's full of amazing training and stuff that you can go and use in 8 different applications in your business, from getting conversions to freeing up your time to a bunch of other stuff.
And we also want to include a personal one-to-one chat with Rob or myself. We're not going to palm you off to some account manager. It's going to be Rob or myself, the founders of Response Suite, where we'll actually work with you, not only to build your surveys and Response Suite, but to build out your campaigns as well, to start getting the results. And that's included as well. So Rob, where do they need to go?
So the link is Response Suite Deal. That's S-U-I-T for suite. ResponseSuiteDeal.com/InnovaBuzz. The name of the podcast. So, ResponseSuiteDeal.com/InnovaBuzz. And you'll be able to sign up. You'll be able to get the 14-day free trial, plus the Survey Marketing Masterclass, plus a one-to-one with Kennedy or myself, depending on who happens to drop into your inbox.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's very generous. Thanks, guys. And we'll post the link to that in the show notes as well.
Absolutely. Pleasure.
So what's the number one piece of advice, finally, you'd give to any business owner who wants to be a leader in innovation?
To be a leader in innovation, well, I think it's about being disruptive. It's about saying, right now, I don't know how to do this, but wouldn't it be good if I could? And then to find other people to brainstorm that with and throw the idea around and say, look, I know this is wild. I know this is wacky, but wouldn't it be good if we could get to this? And I know there's some risks with it, and I'm fully aware that this could be a problem with it, but let's throw it around and be willing to have the discussion rather than going, that's a stupid idea. It's not even possible.
And an easy way to do that, incidentally, if you think about going back to our days before Response Week, so pre-Response Suite, when we had our own separate information product businesses, which we still run today, we built multiple 7-figure online businesses selling information products. And along that path, I spoke to lots of other online business owners, and all of them said, you need to be selling software, you need to be selling software, you need to be selling software. And because that's where the money is. The money's in the software. Sell software. And I stopped and I just thought, well, do you know what? I don't have any good ideas for software. This is like 10 years ago. I don't have any good ideas for software. Where are you getting all these ideas from? And they said, well, what we do is we look at what other people are doing and then we say, right, we can do that better or cheaper or faster, or we can find some way of doing it. And that's their innovation. That's their innovation. For me, that wasn't innovative enough to do it. I didn't just want to say, okay.
That's just iterative, isn't
it? That's just say, okay, well, Microsoft Word is X amount per year. I'd probably make it cheaper than that. So we'll make a knockoff Microsoft Word and sell it out. That's imitation. What we decided to do was to hold up until, and we found the thing that was missing in our business and decided to create that. And it didn't exist anywhere else in the world. We were the first people to do it. So the easiest way to be disruptive is to ignore the sort of nagging thing that says, oh, but the money's over there, the money's over there, the money's over there. And actually say, how do I solve an actual problem in my life or in my business that I cannot find the solution to? And then go down that route. So we had to shut down a lot of noise from people just saying, start a software business, be in software, until we had the idea that was going to change everything for everyone.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's great advice. I like the idea of saying, you know, exploring that. Wouldn't it be good if we could do that and then reaching out to people who might be able to help and who can critique that, but in a way that they might say, well, rather than just say it's a stupid idea, say, yeah, that might work, but...
And I think the key you're going to is to surround yourself with people who are smarter than you. Don't let your ego get in the way. Like, we would not employ anybody who's not smarter than either of us, because otherwise it's like Rob and I disagree on pretty much everything, don't we?
Yeah.
That's what I'm supposed to think.
No, we don't.
Oh, come on, I lined it up for you. That was terrible. We disagree on most things. And the reason we have to disagree on most things is because if we agreed on everything, as the old adage says, then one of us is redundant. So it's just make people around you going to challenge you dead on.
And occasionally, can leave, right?
No, I'm not. Hang on.
Yeah. All right, great. So last question, who would you like me to interview on a future Innova Buzz podcast and why?
I would like you to interview Grace from Response Suite. just said that to see her face across the table. who do you like, Rob? Do you have any ideas?
Who's incredibly...
I tell you who's really innovative. It's Clayton Maskett at Infusionsoft, or Keep, as they're called this week.
Yeah,
I think Clayton's really great, very innovative, very disruptive. I think he's brilliant.
Yeah, I would second that.
All right. Well, we might get Clayton on a future Innova Buzz podcast. We might get you to introduce us. I have had some dealings with the people at Innova at Infusionsoft, but don't recall Clayton's name coming up in that. All right. Well, this has been really fun, Rob and Kennedy. I've really enjoyed having you on the show and learning so much more about Response Suite and the thinking that has gone into that product and into the various philosophies around the surveys and the strategies around the surveys that are possible within that. And I've come up with some other ideas that might be applicable to Response Suite as a tool as well. So that's I'm going to have to go check it out in more detail.
Surround yourself with people smarter than you. That's why we're here, right?
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, I wish you all the best for the future and let's keep in touch.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Jürgen.
I hope you enjoyed that engaging and very entertaining conversation with Rob and Kennedy and, like me, learned from what they shared. As we were talking, I had a lot of ideas for using Response Suite surveys for my business and also ideas that were different to standard surveys. It is indeed a very powerful piece of software. One of the key things that Rob and Kennedy mentioned was the psychology of surveys, from their visual layout, the order and number of questions, through to making it really easy for people to respond to them. I'd love to know what you took away from today's episode. Leave a comment below the blog post, which can be found at innovabiz.co/response suite. That is RESPONSE SUITE. All lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.co/response suite. You'll also find contact information for getting in touch with Rob and Kennedy there, as well as links to the Response Suite website, the three marketers walk into a podcast show, as well as the other resources we spoke about in the conversation. And the link to take up Robin Kennedy's free offer of a 14-day trial is, wait for it, responsesuitedeal.com/InnovaBuzz. That's responsesuitedeal.com/InnovaBuzz. So go check that out and learn more about the power of Response Suite and how it might be able to help your business. Robin Kennedy suggested we interview Clate Mask, the CEO of Infusionsoft, on a future InnovaBuzz podcast. So Clate, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Rob and Kennedy from Response Suite. Remember to visit innovabiz.co/VIP to access the Transformational Marketing Hub and all its free and exceptionally useful information to help you transform your marketing. Also check out our Tales of Marketing Transformation show at talesofmarketingtransformation.com, where each episode provides one valuable message to guide you on your marketing journey of transformation. Tune in again next week to the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we've got more fantastic guests lined up, including Sean D'Souza of Psychotactics and Glenn Fisher of The Art of the Click. Stay connected. Subscribe to the InnovaBuzz podcast so you'll make sure you'll never miss another episode. Head on over to innovabiz.co/subscribe. We'd also love you to leave us a review, because what you think matters to us. Take some of the ideas you've heard today and apply them in your business. Any thoughts, ideas, suggestions, or questions, then share them in the comments below the blog post. And remember, if you want to get better marketing results than you ever have, join our fantastic Facebook community at the Tales of Marketing Transformation Facebook group. All you have to do is go to innovabiz.co/TMA. It's free to join. I hope to see you there soon. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember to be awesome and keep innovating.